You're famous, but yeah. Not
personal. Guys, that's it. Close the door behind you.
Okay. Okay, let's go. I hope you hear me correctly, people in the side and in the room and people online. So yeah, let's begin. Thanks for them for having me today and to talk about Cluster API and Kubernetes. Thanks you to come here. That's quite impressive to see the room being fully packed. Yeah, I hope you will learn things. I hope you will discover things. That's the most important. And you will get some stuff to continue to investigate at home. So the goal of this talk is to give you a brief introduction to Cluster API, to get the key elements in your head and to get the terminology and what's currently going on in the in the Cluster API ecosystem. So spoiler alert, I'm not a Cluster API expert. I don't contribute directly to the Cluster API code base, but I'm involved in various development like Cluster API OpenStack provider. So we'll see that further. Before starting, let me quickly introduce myself. I work as a Flatcar engineer inside Microsoft. Flatcar is an operating system designed to run container workloads. If you want to learn more about Flatcar, you can go at 5:15, see my teammate Tilo talk about Flatcar. It's a deep dive introduction, and it will give you the key elements about this operating system. But that's not the purpose of this today. Outside of work, I'm involved in various associations like SRE France, which is a DevOps association where we organize meetups and conferences in France and in Paris and in France. So if you want to talk in a meetup or if you're interested to organize something, let me know. Context. The context is Kubernetes. Kubernetes is quite the answer to everything today. So if you want to deploy something small, something big, there is a likely big chance that you're going to use Kubernetes. So to me, it becomes a great standard. I think we can say this term. So yeah, that's the cool thing with Kubernetes. You can deploy small thing and big things, and it works. And it works in the same way if it's a big thing or if it's a small thing. Something to know about Kubernetes is that you have two aspects of this technology. You can consume Kubernetes, means you deploy your application on it, and that's cool. And you have also to deploy and maintain the Kubernetes cluster. So you can do both if you want to. You can do only one aspect of the other. But today, let's focus on the deploy and maintain Kubernetes cluster and not how to use Kubernetes cluster. Two or 3 weeks ago, I was on Twitter checking some news, what's going on in the tech industry, and I've seen a tweet of a person I've met in different conferences, a tweet about, hey guys, what if I write a book to describe all the ways to deploy Kubernetes? So it was an idea like that, and he got some traction in the end about this idea. And he started to draft a list of all the ways to deploy Kubernetes. So Denis is at the FOSDEM currently. So if you want to talk with him about his book, or if you want to invest in his book, it's a great opportunity to meet him. He has a talk in the Go Dev room this afternoon. But yeah, we're not talking about Go, we talk about Kubernetes and the 50 shades of deploying Kubernetes. So you can use binaries, you can use managed services, you can use platform, you can use various bunch of ways to deploy Kubernetes. But today, let's have a look on the line 27 or 26, something like that. It's the Cluster API. Cluster API, if I quote the documentation, it's a Kubernetes subproject focused on providing, you can read. The most important is the last line. The Cluster API project use Kubernetes-sized APIs and patterns to automate cluster lifecycle. In other words, use Kubernetes to deploy Kubernetes. So that's the cool thing with Kubernetes, is you can extend this technology using CRDs or custom resource definition. So you can extend the technology, and you can leverage, you can benefit from the reconciliation loop, for example, the Kubernetes, for what you want to do. It's already available for the basic usage of Kubernetes, but you have other projects like Crossplane that will leverage this this way of managing the lifecycle on the provider side. So Cluster API is this kind of stuff. So if we take a look on really really abstract way of how does it work, you have two clusters. On the left, it's the management cluster. This is the pilot of everything. This is where things happen. And you have the workload cluster. This is where you run to run your workload. So your website, your SaaS, your whatever, it will run in the workload cluster. This is what you currently do if you do some Kubernetes cluster. But before that, we have the management cluster. So you're going to tell to the management cluster, hey, I need a cluster in these providers. Please deploy everything I need to have to run this Kubernetes cluster. Because to deploy a Kubernetes cluster, you need networks, you need security groups, you need a bunch of things to create on the provider. Well, the management cluster will take care of that, and it will deploy things for you, and you don't have to do anything. So that's the way to see things. And in this example, my management cluster is running with Kubernetes in Docker, kind. So this is pretty convenient because I can run my management cluster on my local laptop on tiny resource thing because I just need to deploy one single control plane. I don't need to have high availability and stuff like that. I just want to use the Kubernetes APIs. And the workload cluster in this case is running on OpenStack, just for illustrating. So as long as you have a network connectivity between those two clusters, and you have credentials, of course, it will work. So, and you can even decide to migrate the management cluster from one cluster to the other, but that's something else. That's the key elements to understand and to know if you want to understand the concept of Cluster API. So this is my my kind cluster. So I just have one single control plane running. That's it, nothing fancy, nothing to do, just kind create cluster, and I have my management cluster. Nothing to install on it on top of this. Just a regular Kubernetes cluster. Really simple. Now, how can I create things on my cloud provider using Cluster API? Well, for people that already knows Terraform, that already knows Crossplane, or this kind of project, you know that there is no secret. You need to know the APIs of the cloud provider, to implement them, to consume them, and to create what we call a contract. So this is the border between the Cluster API logos and the cloud providers. So you need to teach Cluster API, okay. So in Cluster API, we say that a network, it's this thing. So a network on GCP will be this thing, on OpenStack, it will be this thing, and so forth, and so forth. So yeah, the idea is to teach Cluster API how to manipulate and how to deploy resources on these cloud providers. And for this, we use what we call a Cluster API providers. So on the Kubernetes SIGS subproject on GitHub repository, you can see all the various providers supported. So there is OpenStack, GCP, public cloud, on-premise, so it's a Tinkerbell on the upper right. So yeah, you have a bunch of providers, and if you have some knowledge in Go programming, if you have some knowledge in API consumption and stuff like that, feel free to start to contribute on this provider because this is a cool way to start contributing to Kubernetes and Kubernetes ecosystem. So yeah, that's the idea. Under the hood, what's going on? And now I have my management cluster. I need to create my workload cluster configuration. So I just use the cluster CTL, cluster cuddle, whatever you call it, command to generate this YAML configuration file. And I just provide a few key elements, the flavor, the Kubernetes version, how many control plane I want, how many workers I want. One interesting thing is the flavor. So Cluster API relies on templates. So these templates are provided by the maintainers of the providers. So for example, the Flatcar template will deploy a workload cluster based on Flatcar images. You have some flavor, for example, on the OpenStack with load balancing, if you need some load balancing services, and stuff like that. So flavor is a way to customize your deployment of your workload cluster. You will still have a workload cluster in the end. You get a Kubernetes cluster, that's fine, but you can decide to customize it. So this flavor, this variant, are tested using end-to-end testing. So each time there is a new release of the providers, you can be sure that it passed the CI, so you can safely update your configuration. Of course, for clarity, I didn't mention that you need to provide a few more environment variables to, for example, to provide the credentials. Of course, Cluster API is going to create some things on GCP, on AWS, on OpenStack, whatever. He needs to get access to this infrastructure, so he needs to get the credentials. So this is an example of things you can pass, but you can also define which instance size you want to use for your control plane, which instance size you want to use for your workers. So this is the kind of elements that you need to configure previously calling this command. But yeah, just for demo purpose, I wanted to show you this command line, which is the bare minimum to generate the cluster configuration. And now we have the capi-quickstart.yml file. We can apply it like any other Kubernetes manifest file. So kubectl, kubectl, apply capi-quickstart.yml, and it will create, as usual, some resources on my management cluster. So we can see that there is the cluster definition, there's machine deployment. So this is something common to Cluster API. Then we have the OpenStack specific part, and this from one provider to the other, of course, the output will be different. But that's the idea. You just apply this. So that's pretty convenient because you have a file. So you can use this file in a Git repository. You can use this file in a CI. You can use this file with whatever you want. So you have an infrastructure as code in terms of Cluster API. Now, if I check on the provider side, I have some resources that are going to be created by themselves. Not by themselves, by Cluster API. But you can see that I have some instances. So I asked for one control plane and three worker nodes. So we can see that I have four instances being created. I have a network. I have security groups. I have stuff, SSH keys. So this is for OpenStack, but once again, it's the same thing for every provider. But this is the cool thing about Cluster API is that it does not just deploy a cluster. It deploys everything to create a cluster, its instance, the security groups, the firewall rules, ingress, egress, whatever you need. So it works in this way. And when everything is up and running, you will just get your configuration that you can inject into kubectl, and then you have a new cluster ready to be used. So that's it about OpenStack. Now we can ask ourselves what's under the hood on the operating system side. I'm a Flatcore engineer. I work in the operating system field. So I'm curious to know what power my nodes. So with kubectl, we can inspect the nodes and see that, for example, this one is running Flatcore because I asked for a Flatcore variant. But for example, with Flatcore, we do not ship kubeadm, we do not ship kubelet service, we do not ship MISC files. So how my nodes can start acting like a Kubernetes node, how things can work. And on top of that, Flatcore is immutable. There is no package manager. So there is no way Cluster API is going to SSH into that node and say, OK, apt install kubeadm. No. So what's the magic behind? It's another project called the Image Builder. So it's on the Kubernetes 6 GitHub repository. That is the Image Builder project. So the idea is to take an OS, for example, Ubuntu, to build it with Packer. So nothing new under the sun. And to inject the kubeadm, the container runtime, the MISC files, whatever you need to power Kubernetes nodes. So it's a three-step thing. You take your OS, you inject the Kubernetes components, and then you export this new image, this golden image, like we sometimes call, into your providers of your choice. OpenStack, GCP, AWS. So you understand that's something quite complicated, because in order to use Cluster API, you need to use this kind of image. So it means I can wait for someone from the community to build it. The build of the image is not an issue. Everyone can build image. It's more about the storage, because storing an image, it's something, but when you have to store image for each Kubernetes version, so it's three main version at each time, so three Kubernetes version, then I have to keep the image for each cloud provider I want to use, and I have to keep an image for each different version of Ubuntu, it can be complicated to store everything and to have the time and the energy to build these images. But this is what we currently do with this provider, so that's I will not say this is the way to do, but this is commonly done currently in the open source world. So we can think about something, an alternative. That's the true spirit to me of the open source world, is to have alternative. So there is no one way or one other way to do things, there is alternative. Then you choose which one is the best for you. So an alternative would be, okay, I take a Linux-based OS, for example, Ubuntu, Flatcar, or whatever. It's already available on GCP. It's already available on AWS. It's already available on DigitalOcean, Azure, because these cloud providers provide these images for you. So just the vanilla image, a fresh image, is already available. So what if now we download the Kubernetes components during the boot of the image, and in the end, we have the same result. We have a Linux-based OS with the mix file, with the kubeADM, everything I need to power my nodes. So this is something we implemented on the OpenStack side. So you just need to use another flavor. It's systemd czex, flatcar-czex, sorry. And it leverages this new feature of systemd called systemd czex. Basically, systemd czex, it's an image, raw squashfs image, that you're going to mount as an overlay on the Linux-based system. And it will bring you new binary files, new configuration files into your system. So if you want to have a look to systemd czex, I really encourage you to check this new features from systemd. And this is what basically we're going to do with this flavor. It's during the boot, we're going to download kubeADM systemd czex image, and everything will be up and running to power my node. For example, if I SSH on the node, I can just run systemd czex list, and it will give me the output of Kubernetes image being available. So what it's cool with this approach is that you remove the strong bounding between the Kubernetes version and the image version. So if you want to update Kubernetes but you don't want to update your based OS, you can. If you want to update your based OS but you don't want to update Kubernetes, you can. Before that, you were supposed to build new images and stuff like that. And the cool thing is that systemd czex it works in the same way on AWS, on Azure, on on-premise, on whatever. So you have just one configuration for all the cloud provider. So that's something to keep in mind, and we discuss with Cluster API folks to see what could be the new approach of this. We also attend some office hours of the Cluster API ecosystem to make some demo of this. But yeah, it's already available on OpenStack, and we hope it will be available in the other providers. A few resources, if you want to continue check this at home, you can have, of course, the Cluster API website, the Cluster API OpenStack. This is, for the example I've shown, Flatcar and systemd czex, which is the main outlook in the end of this talk, is systemd czex. But yeah, so to conclude, I would say this talk is to give you the key elements, what's going on in Cluster API, how does it work, but also to give you an overview of what we're currently working on this aspect of Cluster API. So yeah, thanks. And of course, I forgot to add the QR code, but you can find them on the FOSDEM website. And yeah, thanks for attention. If you have any questions. So if you have any question, or maybe on the chat, if there is some.
I didn't
see anything, but we can start with the room.
Yeah, do we have a mic, or?
No, you will repeat the question.
Okay, we repeat the question.
Okay, I have a very philosophical question about closed cluster API. What's the life cycle of Kubernetes cluster? Do you, it's long running, you upgrade it, or it's just temporarily? Do you just replace with the new one?
So the question is about the life cycle of the cluster. Do we need to replace each node when there is a new version? That's correct?
Yeah, but like, what is the intended purpose? It's like long life clusters, or it's like just for short time?
Well, the goal is to have, yeah, okay. So the question is, do we use Cluster API to have long-term usage or short-term usage? I would say that Cluster API is in the philosophy of leveraging Kubernetes, which means using the reconciliation loop of Kubernetes, you can just things that by themselves, and if there is a network or instance that going down, it can be restarted by the management cluster that will take care of. There is a state, and you still want to be in that in this state, because with Terraform, for example, there is a state, of course, but it's not live; it's a static state. So if there is some things missing, you need to rerun plan apply to be sure that your things get back. So that's one of the difference. Yes, Mister.
Why cluster CTL to generate the templates instead of using Helm templating?
That's a great question. That's a great question. As you can see, can you repeat? Yeah. So why use a cluster CTL CLI tool instead of using Helm or customize or stuff like that? So the idea of cluster CTL, it provides some sugar on top of the command generation, so you can manage your cluster. So that's one of the features. But you can also have variable injection. When you generate the template, it will check if there is some missing variables required by the providers. So I think you can perform the same thing with other tools, but cluster CTL is just handy, and you have it in this way to just be sure that you don't miss an environment variable to configure your deployment. Yes?
In terms of the overlay for the flat car, how hard or easy is it to build custom overlays, say if you've got OEM integrations, like what's the tooling to support that?
So the question is about the overlay and how to build these images, if I understand correctly, the system DCSX. So you don't have to build, because we provide them on... Yeah, you can whether decide to fork the repository I mentioned, which is called CSX, Flatcar CSX Bakery, where we provide these images. So you can fork and do your stuff, and why not send the peer if it's something relevant for the community. And it's just a matter of SquashFS. If you have SquashFS utility tools on your system, you can just build your images. Basically, everything will be in a directory, then you convert these directories to a SquashFS image. Yes?
Does the machine deployment controller do any sort of enforcing reconciliation? So if you were to delete the instance in OpenStack, would it
Yeah, not immediately, but in a few seconds, few minutes after, it will say, okay, I have to get four machines, I have only three. One missing is a worker node, so I need to have it. So the question was about the question was about if there is some instance that is that disappear from the OpenStack or the provider's dashboard, does the management cluster restart the instance? Yes.
As Kubernetes, I'd really love to manage my Kubernetes clusters with Kubernetes resources, but I always wanted to bootstrapping problems, like how do I manage my management cluster? I had so many projects where I'd love to use cluster API,
yeah,
but it never makes sense because in the end I end up using KubeSpray for the management cluster that I can just edit using KubeSpray.
Yeah, so I think the bootstrap issue, they got the same question. So the question is about how do you create the management cluster. So I think this logo is well representative of the issue. It's the turtle that you stack, and in the end there is no answer because your management cluster you can define to handle it with another management cluster. So you can chain cluster API if you want to. Why not? That's something you can consider. And on the cluster, on the new workload cluster, you can just say, okay, now it's a management cluster, so I'm going to deploy cluster API on the workload cluster. But of course, it's just theoretical. There is no practical way to do that, and it's not the point. But yeah, your management cluster, that's what I say, you can use really something simple. I think I seen that there is this new Kubernetes tool that you can use. It's not it's like deployment without kubelet or something like that. So maybe yes, because you just need the APIs in the end of the Kubernetes. And so why not try to think to come with something like that to just deploy a set of API and that's it. But you can we can do things like that. You can decide to use Kine, for example. That's the best way to deploy things for the management cluster. Time's up. Okay, thanks everyone. Have a great day.
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
stuff go from Ethereum. Yeah, most of it, you know.
Let's go with Ethereum. Yeah. Do you have a presentation?
Yeah.
Nice. We are starting in a couple of seconds.